Hello, ma'am. Send me gift cards. And your credit card number's over the phone.
Once Chance Wilder gets all of her information, we're going on a shopping spree. I'm talking Gucci, Fendi, and Prada.
I'll send the police to your house.
You mean to tell me that if I don't send you my credit card number over the phone, you're gonna come to my house and arrest me?
Absolutely. I love shopping on Amazon Prime, especially when everything is free 99.
I can't believe people are so gullible.
Sergeant, be safe. You're right on time. Can you help me?
I sure can. Hello, Wild Chance.
Oh, no. Sergeant,
right.
Be safe.
Never give out any credit card information over the phone.
I can't believe you led Be Safe right to us. Run, you fool.
Me? It isn't my fault. It was your idea.
You're caught and going back to jail. Remember, folks, don't buy gift cards and give that or credit card information over the phone, especially to a stranger. It could be Chance Wilder and his partner getting ready to rob you blind. Remember, take it from me, Sergeant Be Safe, and that'll be your tip of the day to get you on your way.
Subscribe now.
Hey, Officer Shen.
Hey, officer.
The reason I pulled you over is because you were speeding a little, okay?
Oops. Sorry,
all
officer.
Right. Can I see your driver's license and proof of insurance, ma'am?
I actually don't have that with me.
Okay, no problem. I'll just get your first and last name, okay?
Sure.
What's your first name?
Rita.
Okay, last name?
Go.
Go. Rita, go?
Correct. Thank you, officer.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
You work?
Are you 446?
Bruh.
He had a drive. Oh. Oh, I can't breathe.
Radio.
Oh. He needs some milk.
I can't
breathe.
He don't know I'm doing this shit.
Welcome to Black and Blue, the podcast that brings you the untold stories behind the badge. Every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we dive deep into the lives of our unsung heroes, the first responders and law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line to protect us all. So join us as we humanize the badge. We shed light on the incredible individuals who wear it proudly. From rookies just starting out on their journey to seasoned vets with years of experience, even retirees who continue to make a difference in their communities. Come with us and discover the trainings that mold us. The unforgettable experiences that make us. Publications that inspire us to push forward. So buckle up and get ready to embark on a thrilling journey through the lives of those who protect and serve. This is the Heartbeat, Black and Blue. Black and Blue, where the stories behind the badge are true.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you guys for tuning in to the second part of this doubleheader this week. Most of you know we went live yesterday. I missed a week when I was in Texas, so therefore we're making up for it today. And we got another barn burner coming this way. I can't wait to jump into it. But first, we got to get a couple things out here. For those of you that don't know, I'm your host. I'm Coach Klee. I'm your motivational speaker, your empowerment coach, your author, and your favorite baker. And I'm here, the host of Black and Blue, where we go live weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And when we go live with the first responder or a law enforcement officer, whether they're rookie, seasoned, or retiree. And we talk about their trainings, their experiences, and their publications, and we don't fall short from any of that. This is a live platform, ladies and gentlemen. We're streaming on five different platforms right now. We're on two on Facebook, we're on two on YouTube, and we're on one on LinkedIn. And this will also be uploaded up into Spotify either tonight or tomorrow. So if you're not already a subscriber there, make sure you guys subscribe. Tag, like, and share. Tell your friends. Get your questions ready as well, because like I said, we're streaming on five different platforms. I can't see who's on here. So therefore, if you want a shout out, you got to put your name and where you're from in the comment section, and we'll give you that shout out that you're looking for. If you have a question, you have to put it in the comment section as well, and we'll put it on the screen and we'll answer your question to the best of our ability. Understand, last couple times LinkedIn, what the questions weren't appearing on the screen, so I couldn't get to them. We had to do it during a replay, but they were working yesterday. So let's get to it. Have fun with that. Like I said, this is Coach Klee, your motivational speaker. And what I was told is Klee is standing for continuing law enforcement edutainment, because we have fun with those Sergeant Be Safe cartoons that you just saw. Have fun with those caricatures or those TikTok videos that we showed at the beginning as well. Workwithklee.com is in the comment section and it's scrolling below. That is the website that you want to go to if you're looking to be on this platform as a guest. That's how you would get in contact with me to do that. Or if you want to be a voiceover for Start and Be Safe, workwithklee.com is for that. Also, the sponsor for Black and Blue is One Way Publishing. One Way Publishing has those five. I wrote five books through that platform as well. They had clients that wrote books through their platform. Their motto is they can turn a mere thought into a book that's bought, and they don't fall short from it. I see you got a comment right here. I see, good evening, CT from SETI P. Thank you for tuning in. Tag, like, and share. I appreciate that. One Way Publishing, we got a couple. Let me see if I can get these on here. Kay Childs, her book just finally published in December. It's a poetry book, a gift from God, given by God. I'm sorry. It took her 20 years to actually pull the trigger and want to get that done. And she finally was able to get that done. That's on Amazon or workwithklee.com. You guys can check that out. Also, the mother-daughter duo, Shayla and Sophia Thompson, To Be So Tall, they wrote their own children's book. And that's hitting the stage in a barn burner itself. That's available on Amazon too. And there's a couple things coming down the pipeline with that. So make sure you guys check them out and check that out. All right. But like I said, workwithklee.com is the platform, is the website that you guys want to check out. Not now, but at the end of this live here. All right. Make sure I got everything covered. Make sure I'm not skipping anything, because like I said, we have a barn burner and I'm excited to have this guest here. Some of you may know him. Others of you may not. We're going to learn about him today. We're going to learn about things he's done and the things that he's doing right now and his aspirations for the future. So make sure you get your questions ready. Keep hitting that like button. Keep hitting that share button, because we're going to have a lot of fun. The guest that we have now is Heaton Nguyen. He has his own website, which is, let me get it right, it's in the comment section as well, team/up.ca. Make sure you guys check that out. Got to get this right here. He's the current director of protection services. What's exciting, at least for me, he's a former Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer. Please, you work with that department. I'm probably saying it incorrectly. I know he's probably going to go ahead and correct me. He did 14 years as a law enforcement officer. He's worked also in close protection for bodyguards. He's worked in counterterrorism. He's had an eager desire to learn about leadership, and he's also a leadership coach along with that. He's received two awards within the past year, and when I say past year, 2023, make sure I get this right, the 2023 OAC of USA, the Award of Excellence for Canadian Security, the Canadian Security Magazine, and also a Community Leadership Award. And without further ado, I'm going to bring him to the stage, but I do know a secret about him that you may not know. I do know that he met the Dos Equis guy and met him on his own platform, and they had a card game, and he beat the Dos Equis guy at the card game that the Dos Equis guy made up. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm going to bring him to the stage right now. He, are you there?
I am here.
Let me get these banners up. He, I'm glad that you made yourself available to come on a platform. It's my pleasure to host you here. I know we're going to have a lot of fun, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Thanks. I'm super, super happy to be here, Klee. Just such a pleasure. I'm super grateful. In a nutshell, I'm a former Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, so which is the federal police in Canada. Okay. And so I did that for 14 years. I spent my first 4 years on patrol. So did uniform patrol in the area of Vancouver. So on the west side of Canada, did that high speed pursuits, rolled in the mud with the bad guys for 4 years. Uh-huh. And then I was offered a position to transition to bodyguarding. So I went into close protection and I was on the team for the Prime Minister of Canada. So I literally traveled all over the world for four more years as a close protection bodyguard. And then I transitioned into counterterrorism, which was kind of my objective from the start. So, and I spent 6 years in counterterrorism doing the James Bond thing. So that was, that was a lot of fun. It was great.
Yeah, that's the life of an adventurer. That sounds like the dream life of someone that gets in law enforcement. But let's back up a little bit. What gave you the burning desire to actually want to get into law enforcement? Did it come to you as a young child? Was it a calling for you? Or did it come to you during your formidable years as a teenager going through schooling or the military or anything like that?
Actually, it wasn't at all. The thing that got me over, the thing that literally pushed me over the off the sidelines essentially was 9/11. So everybody remembers 9/11. Where were you on 9/11? Right? It's a common question. And at the time, I was a salesman. I sold software back in those days, and I was living in Montreal, Canada, and the attacks happened, and like something hit me. Like I of course, just like everybody, I was completely shocked by what happened, but there's a big part of me that was like, yeah, not in my country. We're not doing that. So the entity that takes care of counterterrorism in Canada is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the RCMP. So within weeks of the September 11th attacks, I walked into a recruiting office in Montreal, and there was this grizzled old sergeant, you know, doing those presentations. And there's about 40 of us just stacked in this room. And the old sergeant's like, statistically, maybe one of you is going to graduate from the academy. And I was like, holy shit, this is totally for me. And so... And I had never been exposed to policing really before. I'll be perfectly honest. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But a couple of years later, after this very lengthy selection process, I went to the academy, and then I was hooked. Man, as soon as I got that uniform on and you're at the academy and they're teaching you to drive it like you stole it, and you're fighting and you're shooting guns all day, it was like Disney World. Like I was so happy. And then, and then I got my first posting was in the area of Vancouver. And like, I was hooked on the adrenaline, hooked on the brotherhood. Like I loved my job. It was awesome.
Yeah. For 14 years. I mean, that's a no slouch, bro. That's a long time to be in working in a certain employment, working in law enforcement and not loving the job. Do you have any stories or any experiences that you would like to share with us from your time from patrol?
Oh my gosh, so many. There's just, there's so many. I think that one of the first things that struck me, and I'm sure every police officer is going to smile when I say this, but get a bunch of cops and firefighters and EMS or whatever around a barbecue, and you will laugh your ass off until the wee hours of the morning. Like, it's just, we have the best stories ever. But let me think of a story that's how politically correct do I need to be on this podcast before I tell a story?
You can be as free as you want to be.
All right. So I've got a story.
Uh-huh.
So I get dispatched to a call of somebody who found a suspicious package at their residence. So I'm like, all right. So boo-boo, I show up at the residence, and this guy, he's pale, he's sickly. He kind of walks up to my car, and he's kind of puking in his mouth, and he's just like, and he's trying to talk to me, but he's puking in his mouth, and he's just like, I was working in my yard, and so I'm starting to laugh, going, okay, where is this going? He's like, I was digging in my yard, and I found a bag, and there's maggots, man. There's maggots coming out of the bag. And he's just like, I think I found a body. I think I found a body. And I'm laughing. I'm like, all right. So I get out of the car, and we go in this guy's yard. And sure enough, he was digging up to do some landscaping or something. And there's a black garbage bag, and it's moving, and it's filled with thousands of maggots, and it's just like moving. And this guy's just like, just, and I'm like, all right, give me your shovel. So I hit the bag with the shovel, and like 10,000 maggots just like spill out of the bag. And this guy starts hurling next to me. He's like, and I'm laughing. So I look, and there's a pelt that comes out. Like, it was a dog. So I guess the previous owners of this house had buried a dog in there. And so this new owner is digging up the yard or whatever and finds the dog. And so, and he's like, oh, this is disgusting. And, you know, he's puking, and, you know, and at some point he just looks at me and goes, well, aren't you going to take it away? And I'm like, nope. Well, you could just like put it in your car. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. No. You call the city. They can come and pick it up. And so, yeah, so that was a funny story. It was a funny story of just showing up to this guy, just trying to talk to me while he was puking in his mouth. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's not a fun one. Trust me, I had something similar with a dumpster. To make a long story short, guy walking his dog, and he's like, my dog alerted to the dumpster. I think there's a person in there, a corpse in the dumpster. And, you know, we gather around. Long story short, it turns out that it was a big bag full of crab legs that is spoiled in the middle. I was like July or June or something. So the heat, it was in there cooking, and it just smelled ridiculously bad. And then we get in there and open it up. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a bad day. And that's Stan right there.
Yeah. It's, I had, as a rookie, I had something similar where I thought like, I was like, man, jackpot, because I get called to this abandoned vehicle. Potentially stolen. So it's like a panel van. I show up, you know, rookie. And so I go in and I check the van, and there's a cooler in the van, like those small coolers. And I open the cooler, and inside is a hand and a foot. And I'm like, holy shit, crime scene. So I'm calling my supervisor. I'm like, I need CSI over here. And the van was in the parking lot of a gas station. So I put like police tape all around the parking lot, like shut down the gas station and so on and so forth. And so all these, my partners, they're all showing up. What'd you find? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I found a hand and a foot in a truck. Like, it's awesome. And so anyways, my supervisor shows up and he's like, oh yeah, that looks like a hand and a foot. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Cause it's essentially, it was all the tendons and the bones, but there was no skin. Uh-huh. And so I was like, so he's like, but hold on. He says, take a picture and just send it to the coroner because I'm not sure it's human. And I just went, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm not sure it's human. And I'm like, okay. So, but it looks totally legit. So anyways, uh-huh. Take a picture, email it to the coroner. She comes back and she's like, yeah, it's bear paws. Yeah, don't.
Wow.
And I just went, ah, shit. So anyways, I got razzed by my partners for months after that.
I believe that, yeah.
For shutting down that gas station and calling in CSI and the whole shebang. Like, it was, yeah.
Yeah, I bet the pranks were running wild back then for that one. Absolutely. Yep. Got a couple comments on the floor. LinkedIn user, hello from Canada. Thank you for your service. Shout out to you. Thank you. And then former guest on the show, Alan Goodrich. Alan says, Vegas, thanks you, Canadians, for bringing hockey to us. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys tag, like, and share. So after working at patrol for a few years and having, I know you got a good stories, highs and lows. What was it like to be, is it the proper term, an executive bodyguard?
In the RCMP, it's called, they call it just bodyguarding or close protection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And essentially you just, you go through a pretty intensive training. It's lots of driving, like really cool driving.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You learn to drive the armored limo, which is a very, very, very heavy vehicle. So learning how to drive that vehicle, how to bust through like a barrage, or you know, it's pretty cool. You get to do some pretty cool stuff. And then there's a lot of firearms training as well, because as you know, as a patrol officer, you don't get a ton of firearms training. But as soon as I got into the close protection, we were doing a lot of shooting, a lot more shooting. So we were a lot more accurate with that training. But then, and then you just get deployed, and you work in teams. Essentially, they're fairly large teams, and on a shift, typically on a shift, you come in the morning, and there's a sergeant that will basically outline the day. Okay, guys, the VIP, we're gonna pick the VIP up here. Go over there, or you know, we might drive to the airport, hop on a plane, go to this place, stay there for 4 days, come back, or whatever, right? So it was sometimes it was super exciting, and sometimes it was brutally boring, because you know, I've in that job, I've traveled the world. Like, I've been to Asia, Europe, Africa, Central America. I've been all over the place, and there's a lot of these countries I've never seen, like in the sense that I was inside a hotel and I was guarding a door in a hallway. Yeah. Like, that was my job. And so, you know, sometimes it wasn't super exciting, but I've got a great close protection story though. So that's back in 2008, and we are deployed to be at the G8 summit in Rome. So, Rome is amazing. What a cool city. It's beautiful. And it's so, I mean, you're doing bodyguarding in Rome. Like, that was awesome. Anyways, we're out there, and at some point, we realize that during the G8 in Rome, it's also the Rome Film Festival.
So oh, wow.
There's all of these Hollywood actors all over the place, and it's like, this is crazy. And so the one morning I go and I meet my VIP in his room, and I'm like, okay, you know, what's the plan? What do you want to do today? He's like, you know, he's kind of thinking over, and he looks out the window of his bedroom, uh-huh. and the view is of the hotel pool. It's this super gorgeous pool, and uh-huh. it's just filled with hot Hollywood stars in bikinis. And he's uh-huh. just like, I think I'm going to go hang out at the pool. And I'm like, okay, then, no problem. So off we go. And so we go to the pool, and I'm standing there. I'm trying to not be too conspicuous, but mm-hmm. so my VIP is swimming in the pool. He's got a big smile. He's just like, yeah, this is awesome. And it's crazy because I recognize some of the actresses in the pool. I'm like, holy cow, that's so-and-so from whatever, CSI New York, mm-hmm. or, you know, it's just like, wow, it was amazing. And then at some point, I realize there's some guy in the pool staring at me, and I'm like, who is this? And I'm like, holy shit, that's Hollywood actor Bill Paxton. So wow. from the movie Aliens and from the you know, Apollo 13, I'm mm-hmm. like, holy shit. So when he sees that I see him, he just gives me a smile. He steps out of the pool and he comes and shakes my hand, and he's like, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah. I'm like, so I start shooting the shit with Bill Paxton. So we're chatting, and in my head, I'm like, I can't believe this. Like, I'm in Rome, paid double time
wow. to
bodyguard a guy who's swimming with Hollywood actresses in bikinis while I'm chatting with Bill Paxton. Like, it was
that's cool.
completely wild. Yeah, that was very, very, very cool.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, I believe he is the only person to be killed on Predator and Alien in a Predator and Alien movie. He was actually in both. He's been in a couple other films, but that's one of the comedic things that he's known for.
Wow, cool. Yeah, I liked him in pretty much everything he did.
Yeah,
like, he was really good. Like, he was he was in that movie with Tom Cruise, you know, the one where it's kind of Groundhog Day. He always comes back.
Oh, the Edge of Tomorrow? Or something.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Where sci-fi, he had to figure out how he was supposed to beat his adversary, or otherwise he came back and had to start the day over. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bill Paxton's in there too.
All right. Nice. We're going to pause for the calls and go to a Sergeant Be Safe commercial. And then when we come right back, we're going to talk about how you got into counterterrorism and continue on this interview. So stand by, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, bro, we got next game.
Bro, what's going on?
We got this pickup game we're about to get started.
I got a bag full of treats.
Come on, man. Don't nobody want your treats.
Treats? What kind of treats? Vapes, pills, and drugs.
Whoa, what do you mean?
Don't tell your parents.
Looks like I'm right on time. What's going on here?
There, Sergeant, be safe. I gotta get a picture.
Oh man, be safe.
Treacherous Tony, we know you're up to no good. What's in that bag right there?
What bag?
Sergeant, be safe. It's his drugs. He tried to sell it to us.
Thanks, big guy, for letting me know.
You're welcome.
You kids get out of here.
Treacherous Tony, drop the bag and come over here.
You'll have to catch me first.
Don't run, or you're gonna get tased.
All right. Taser, taser, taser.
Ah, I can't go down. What? All right. I give up. I won't do it again.
That's right. Your drugs will be disposed of. So put your hands up. You're coming with us.
I'm sick of going to jail.
Listen up, kids. Don't use drugs, vapes, or pills. They're not good for you. And that's your tip of the day. It gets you on your way.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you guys for sticking with us. We are back and on Black and Blue. We got special guest He Nguyen. We just talked about him being a former police officer with the Royal Mounted. I'm probably saying it wrong. Let me say the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Department. There we go. That's a mouthful. And there also being in overseas and traveling the world, being a bodyguard. But how did you get into counterterrorism? Yeah, I know that that was eventually where you wanted to end up because of the effects of 9/11. I know you worked your way up, but how did you get yourself in the door and what was that like?
That was a ton of work, actually. Since I knew I wanted to get into counterterrorism from the start, when I was a patrol officer, I really worked hard towards source handling. So I started handling sources when I was in uniform. I had the privilege of having a couple of supervisors that were supportive of me, would teach me how to do it, like really the ABCs of handling sources and stuff like that. But that was kind of the beginning of me learning how to interact with sources, how to recruit sources and so on. I started working in close protection. What I started doing is I was trying to get every advantage I could. So I was taking extra courses, that type of stuff. back in those days, counterterrorism was really, really focused on Muslim extremism, right? Mm-hmm. So Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all that jazz. So what I did is I actually hired an Arabic coach. So I essentially spent almost a year in this lady's kitchen, and she was just teaching me Arabic. So she taught me how to speak, read, and write. When I was, because for years I was knocking on the counterterrorism office door, like just going like, hey, I'm gung ho. I want in. Blah blah blah. And it was a very very hard team to join. But I just kept knocking on the door. And eventually, I had an opportunity that opened up, and I just jumped at it. And I'll always remember the interview with the boss of counterterrorism at the time. And he's just like, you see, we do the interview, and at the end of the interview, he goes, you know why I'm going to hire you? And I'm like, okay, why? And he just goes, because you just look like you're going to explode out of your chair to work for us. And I'm like, yeah, man. Like, I'll go mow your lawn. I'll wash your car. I'll do anything to join your team. And he's just like, yeah, I can feel it. So welcome to the team. And I was like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
About a moment of celebration. Yeah, you finally made it on. Lifelong dream achieved. I know that the feeling of accomplishment sets in and the adrenaline takes over. You're like,
yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. And then from that point, I mean, hired on, went into some pretty extensive training. And then, you know what? It was just trial by fire, literally, because there were a couple of really, really big files, counterterrorism files that were taking off. And because I was so eager at the time, I was so happy to be there. I was willing to do anything. And so, they'd come up to me, they go, hey, would you mind doing this job? And I'd be like, yeah, I'll do it. And then, hey, you want to do that job? Yeah, I'll do it. And so I ended up doing a lot of the shit work to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I immediately got this reputation as the guy who was willing to do anything. Like, I wasn't complaining. I was like, nothing was beneath me. I was like, nope, you want me to work on, you know, transcribing the phone intercepts. Yep, I'll do it. You know, you want me to work on a graph to make connections between terrorists? I'll do it. Like, anything. Like, I didn't care, man. Like, I was out there, I was doing it. And so really quickly, I was able to kind of get onto jobs that were really interesting. And then eventually, I expressed my interest to join the undercover team. And then I had to go through a selection process. Mm-hmm. And the undercover program is one of the hardest in the country. Like, it is mm-hmm. it's world renowned. Mm-hmm. But I managed to get onto the course, qualified as an undercover operator. And so, so I worked in an undercover capacity as well, which was super, super cool. So, yeah, I got to do some really, really fun stuff.
Yeah. You sound like you come with a ton of experiences and a good resume for law enforcement, first responder, anything for protection, any of that. All encompassing. One thing builds to another that builds to another, where you got to do and from our perspective, it looks like you got to do the gambit of a multi-level kind of protection and law enforcement. I know that had to be tremendously fun.
Yeah, no, it's in many respects, I was lucky, but mm-hmm. in many respects, I also worked my ass off to get where I got. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, I really, really invested in myself, and it paid off. It really paid off in that sense. Yeah, I got to do some wild, wild stuff.
And having a life and a career the way it was, how did that force you to want to learn more about leadership and wish that you could develop into a better leader to start your own corporation to where you're at now?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think it really started when I was on patrol. Mm-hmm. And every cop listening to this right now is really going to understand this, is that, you know, through a career, supervisors make it rain or shine. You get a good supervisor on a team. Holy crap, mm-hmm. things are great. Things mm-hmm. are really awesome. And you just need that supervisor to get promoted and then mm-hmm. replaced by somebody else. And then suddenly your life is pure hell. Like, within a week, things go south. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. and so that's kind of where I started understanding the importance of, we need to learn how to lead people. And so the more I progressed in my career,
mm-hmm.
the more I saw poor leadership and really started noticing the impact. And so, and we've all seen it. I mean, you work with members that get depressed, that go mm-hmm. on long-term sick leave, that type of stuff. You know, mental health is a huge thing in our industry. And a lot of the lessons I was getting from my career in policing was that at many times in my career, I felt more in danger in the office than outside the office, right? There was such toxic leaders in some, not everywhere, but mm-hmm. in some environments, there were some really bad folks. And mm-hmm. and so eventually, once I decided to leave the RCMP, and I decided to launch my own business at the time, mm-hmm. I really got interested in leadership. And so I started reading tons of books, taking courses, attending seminars. I mean, I'm sure everybody here knows who Jocko Willink is, but mm-hmm. I went and attended an Echelon Front seminar with Jocko Willink in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I did a ton of development. And the more I was developing in leadership, the more I was like, holy shit, most of this stuff is not super complicated for one. Yeah. And I wish I knew these things when I was a police officer. Holy yeah. crap. Had I known these things, my career would have been so much better and so much more interesting. I think I would have been much less stressed. I could have managed situations in a much better way, etc. But yeah, so it became like an obsession, and I've read so many books. The one big thing that hit me was the link I actually made between leadership and my time as an undercover guy in counterterrorism. Because, you know, I spent 6 years recruiting people, like recruiting sources and agents. So the difference in Canada, I don't know the difference in the US, but in Canada, a source is somebody who will give you information.
Yeah, confidential informant.
Yep. Confidential informant. And an agent is actually somebody you recruit to take action on your part, right? So I could have Klee go and put a very specific package in a very specific residence, for example, or go knock on the door and ask for something, or, you know, so you're going to take actions on my behalf. So, right. So which is kind of a level up from recruiting sources, because it's the jeopardy is much, much, much higher.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I spent 6 years doing that continuously, like 24/7, basically. And then I realized that everything I learned in recruiting sources applies to leadership. Because what do you do when you recruit
people?
You convince people to do something. You influence people in taking specific actions. And that's what leadership is. Leadership is influence, right? And so when I realized, holy crap, I can totally connect the two. And so I started, like last year, I started offering little seminars, free seminars that I was doing online. And I was just testing this thing where I was like, okay, you know, try this with your employees. And people were getting these huge results. And I was like, holy crap, you know, I think I've got something here. This is awesome. So I went and I got my leadership coach certification, which really, really allowed me to broaden my skill set in helping people. But you know, one of the main things you do, you know, if you want to recruit a source, one of the main things you do as a team is, let's say we want to recruit Klee. Well, we are going to find out as much about Klee as possible. We're going to find out what Klee likes to eat, who he hangs out with, where he hangs out. Where at what time does he go to bed? Does he work out, not work out? Does he like funny things, not funny things? Does he drink, not drink? Sorry. And we're going to find out your motivations. We're literally going to figure out what buttons we can go and push so that you're going to do what we need you to do. Right. And so that totally applies to leadership. And so currently I'm managing a team of 60 people about. And one of the things I always teach all of my new frontline leaders is this, is get to know your employees, but get to know them deeply. Understand what their motivation is, because most frontline leaders, what's their reflex? They'll go, hey, you need to go over there, go patrol in this area. Or, you know, go do this task or that task and just do it because I told you. But most employees need a little bit more than that. And if you're being given a very specific project or a bigger task or take on more responsibilities, employees need to be given a little bit more information than that. And if you want to have motivation with your employees, you need to align what you're giving them with their motivations.
Right.
But how are you going to do that if you don't know what that is? So, exactly. So you start off and you chat with your employees. Let's say you're my employee, Klee. I might have, you know, a conversation with you where I'm going to say, hey man, like, you know, what's your objective with your career? Where do you want to go? What interests you? What are you really good at? Or, and a different question could be, you know, what do you want to learn? Or is there something you want to grow into? And so on and so forth. And I can take all of this information down. And then let's say, for example, your interest is to go, I don't know, into cybercrime. And I'm like, okay, perfect. So anytime I have an opportunity to get you on a project that gets you closer to cybercrime, and when I'm talking to you, I align your motivation with the goal, right?
Right.
And so that's one of the things I'm teaching my own people. I'm mentoring and coaching my own people and my clients in my business. But that's literally one of the top skills that you need to learn is learn like the other person that you need to influence. You need to learn everything about them.
It's interesting. It sounds so simple. And I remember I talked to you backstage when I got into, I went to the seminar a few years ago, which actually opened the gate toward podcasting. One of the books that I read was How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yep. And I mean, that's it 101. And it sounds so simple enough. It's actually just having a conversation, building a relationship with that individual. Sometimes a friendship can develop out of it. Other times a working relationship develops out of it, but it's just getting to know that person and building upon it.
Yep. 100%. I mean, one of the leadership courses I took is actually that, the Dale Carnegie leadership course. So it was an awesome, awesome course. And this is really where I started with Dale Carnegie. And it was phenomenal. And it's funny that you bring this up because it's right here. Like right I have here. Dale Carnegie with me all the time. And learning the basics of leadership through Dale Carnegie was fantastic. But I think what really made it all click for me was when I made that realization that there was a connection between my time as a, you know, quote unquote spy and now with leadership. I'm just like, holy crap, everything I've been doing really well as a source handler, a source recruiter, like totally applies to leadership, because a lot of leadership is around relationship building, you know, becoming friends with somebody and genuinely doing it, right? Not with the intent of manipulation or anything, but having a genuine connection with somebody and then understanding how you can motivate that person to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just say, I'm meeting you for the very first time. I'm coming off the street. I look your company up on the website that's scrolling below. I want to learn some things. I want you to instruct me on how I can be a better employee as a first responder of some sort. And so we start that process. You interview me, you find out, okay, I'm at the entry level. And I want to work my way up to be at least a supervisor. How would you instruct me or someone like me to through your company to build on that? Can you walk us through a quick scenario on that?
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing I would do is, of course, I'd have a conversation with you about where you're at now.
Right.
Right. Where do you rate yourself as a leader? Right. And so let's say, for example, Klee, I'll ask you right now. You, if you could rate yourself 1 to 10, mm-hmm. on your leadership skills? Where would mm-hmm. you put yourself? 10 being you're the god of leadership, and mm-hmm. one, you can't even lead yourself to the bathroom. So where would you mm-hmm. put yourself in there?
I would say anywhere between a 6 or an 8, somewhere teetering. I don't want to say 7. That's probably the number that everyone falls back on.
Okay, perfect. All right, so between 6 and 8, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would have with you is a conversation about one of the most ignored laws of leadership that exists, which is called the law of the lid, like a lid. So mm-hmm. let's say, for example, you rate yourself, we're going to use an 8.
Okay.
So you're a really good leader. An 8 is mm-hmm. is really strong, okay? Mm-hmm. Human psychology establishes this kind of rule for people who want to follow other people. And so mm-hmm. let's say you're an 8 and I'm a 7
mm-hmm.
in my leadership. I will have zero problem following you because mm-hmm. I'm going to intrinsically feel that you're an 8. Gotcha. You're pretty good. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're pretty good. And so anybody who's a 7, a 6, a 5, like 2s and 3s will follow you no problem, right?
Yeah.
But let's say you get promoted on a team and you're an 8. You're still an 8. You're promoted on a team. There's a couple mm-hmm. of 8s on the team. Maybe there's a 9 on a team. Mm-hmm. These people, regardless if they're good or bad people, they're going to have a problem following you because they're going to feel it. They're better leaders than you. It doesn't mean that you're a bad leader. It just means that your skill set isn't high enough to lead these people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's the kind of conversations I would have with you. And we would map out, we would say, okay, Klee, we need to get you to a 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We need to get you to a 9. So what does that look? And so we would map out, here's everything you need to learn right now to get yourself to a 9. And mm-hmm. so we would do exercises, we would do simulations, we would do all of these things. I would teach you very specific techniques to literally mm-hmm. get you up to a 9, right?
Gotcha.
And so mm-hmm. most of the people that I work with, they're all people that have between 2 years and 7 years of service, mm-hmm. and they're either already like the first level supervisor, or mm-hmm. that's where they want to go. They're right. really aiming for that. But they've got mm-hmm. no idea how to do it, mm-hmm. right? And so most of my folks rate themselves between 5 and 6 is where people feel they're at. 4, gotcha. 5, 6 is where they feel they're at. And then that's exactly what we do. We spend a couple of months together. We meet twice a month. And then mm-hmm. we do training sessions together. And mm-hmm. I'm available to the client 24/7 by text and email. So when they're on shift and they're mm-hmm. working, and they're like, "Oh crap, I got a problem with Klee. You know, I can't handle Klee right now." They can text mm-hmm. me, and in real time, I'll help them manage Klee, for example. So essentially, that's what we do, and it's pretty phenomenal to see people applying the techniques. And then realizing, holy crap, that it wasn't that hard, mm-hmm. but it's now I'm influencing my folks. You know, one of the guys I'm coaching, he said, the people around me are stunned by my growth, and I just went, wow, that's a big statement.
That is,
you know, people around me are stunned. I'm like, wow, that's huge, but. Yeah, it's essentially, I'm so still in love with mm-hmm. policing and security and first responders. I love the people that take care of our communities, and mm-hmm. I really want to give back. And that's why I'm so involved and doing so much to help out first responders, because the reality is there's very few organizations that spend the time, that invest some time training into their people to make them better leaders. And the reality is that leadership is kind of continuous. You continuously have to work at it to be a good leader and to just stay fresh on techniques and so on. And, you know, it just makes so much sense in my mind. And you're a coach, you know this. Investing in yourself makes 1,000% sense. Like it's, there's, you can't question that, because a lot of people, you know, they reach out and they're like, hey, you know, I'm interested, that type of stuff, but you know, tell me why I should spend money on myself. And I'm like, okay, well, it's simple. If you want to talk dollars, that's, it's simple. Imagine that I told you, if I came up with an opportunity for you to say, if you put $1,000 in this box, within a year, you'll be able to take $10,000 out of this box. Would you do it? Would you put would you invest the $1,000? Of course you would.
That's a no-brainer. Yeah.
10X, right? No problem. And that's exactly what coaching does, because, and more than 10X, way more than 10X, because, you know, let's say your coach costs you, I'll say any price, I'll just say $5,000. You are going to 10X that, no problem. Because how much money are you making on a promotion? Say 10, 15K the first year, and then what, another 10, 15 the next year, and so on. And you know, that raise you got the first year, still there the next year, and the year after that. And then you can reuse the same techniques you use with your coach to get your next promotion. So let's say you get another 15, 20K on top of that. It's a no-brainer. And a lot of people that I know, and I've done that, holy crap, I've done that. Like, you're just thinking, I want to get promoted, so I'm going to work harder. But that doesn't work. Like, I've worked my ass off and not get promoted. Like, the day that I literally exploded my career and literally doubled my income was after taking some coaching. I'm still taking coaching today. I still have a coach to take me to my next level and so on. Investing in yourself makes a ton of sense. And a lot of people want to talk dollars and cents. Well, there it is. I mean, just put a few bucks in yourself and you're going to 10X it within a year. And year after year after year after that, you're going to make even more money. So it just makes a ton of sense. But from if you're not interested in money, you know, the way I like to explain it is that for people who want to get promoted, for people who want to move forward in their careers, there's the hard way, and then there's the easy way. And the hard way is you can do it by trial and error, right? You can just say, I'm going to work really hard, and then you're going to stumble and fall. And then you're going to get back up and you're going to do it again and again and again. And you could be doing that for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years until you get your first promotion. And and that's rough. And in our business, making mistakes can cost you your job. You can get sued, all that fun stuff. Or you can do it the easy way and just get yourself a mentor. Get yourself Klee. Get yourself he. We can get you. We've got all the wisdom in the world. We've got the training. We can coach you. We can help you out. And for a few bucks, you get a massive shortcut. Like, I've got clients who got promoted within 60 days. Not 5 years. Not 9 years. Like, we're talking months. Because now you're applying techniques, and not only are you able to lead your team or the people or demonstrate that you can lead a team, but you can also lead up the chain of command, which is what Jocko Willink is teaching, right? Which is I show you how to manage your own boss and how to show your value to your own boss. And then you become a no-brainer. You're instantly selected to go up, and it's... I mean, it makes so much sense because you save time, you save money, you're less stressed. I remember, you know, being on patrol, you know, you've got the night shifts, the day shifts. Mm-hmm. Like my stomach was all over the place. I was tired all the time, you know, and I, you know, every time somebody's asking me, how you doing? I'm living the dream, you know, living the dream. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But it's BS. That at the end of the day, you know, you can just cut through all of this and get to exactly where you want to be. All you need to do is get yourself a coach and invest in yourself. That easy.
Yeah, I know. You surmise it in a wonderful way, very easy to understand, very easy to apply as well. I remember a coach of mine years ago, when, like, how much are you willing to invest in yourself? I'm like, you know, I'm going to work hard, going to find a way to do it. I'm just going to do trial and error, kind of like what you said. Like, so you don't want to invest in yourself and pay money for any kind of courses or any kind of mentorship or any. No, why would I waste money doing that? Good question. Would you waste money putting gas in your car, getting an oil change, or doing any kind of daily maintenance on your car? No, that's not a waste because it keeps the car running. Aha. Apply that to yourself. You're the car. You're not going to put any gas in it. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to get the oil change. Or eventually, the engine's going to lock up. Is that what you want for yourself? I'm like, wow. You just, in a two-sentence conversation, changed the course of my thinking to, like, I it's not a waste to invest in myself. Actually, it's highly needed because either if I don't invest in myself, I'm going to burn out.
Yeah, 100%. And the reality is that if you decide not to help yourself, not to invest in yourself, that means you're making the decision to swim with all the other fish in the same pool. You want to make yourself different. You want to get out of that pool and be part of a much, much smaller pool and be recognized. It's coaching. That's where it is. You get yourself a mentor, a coach, and your career will absolutely explode. And your quality of life explodes because now you're not struggling and stumbling through things. You just know exactly what you're doing. And you've got somebody in your back pocket that you can reach out to and go, hey, man, like I got a problem with this. And then your coach can just go, yeah, did you think about this? Did you think about this? Are you working on this? Like, did you use this technique and blah, blah, and off you go. You know, you can solve it in 5 years or in 5 minutes. It's your call.
Plain and simple. Yeah. Good. I like the way that you express that and put that out there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, stand by. Sergeant Be Safe has an announcement, and we're going to jump right back into the third part of this interview. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm over here counting my stash. Cooper, get out of here. Last time you got me in trouble with Be Safe. This is a good spot to sell my drugs.
Sergeant, Be Safe, we just got a call for suspicious activity.
Copy that, dispatch. Captain Chaos and his K-9 Kraken along with me are just now arriving on the scene. We'll stop and check it out.
10-4, Sergeant Be Safe.
Oh no, cops! I'm out of here.
Release the Kraken.
Hey, we see your drugs over there. Stop running, treacherous Tony. We will get you.
All right. I give up. I won't do it again.
Yeah, you say that all the time.
I'm sick of going to jail.
Illegal drugs are a bad decision. Just ask treacherous Tony. This isn't a good view. Take it from me, Sergeant Be Safe. I want you to make good decisions. And that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
Subscribe now.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Let me get that banner out of the way. Perfect. Ah, man, we're having a great interview, a great conversation on leadership, a great conversation on his past experiences with law enforcement and the rise of how he went and started his own corporation. And with that, you've expressed over the course of a couple of days ago, you told me that you received two major awards in 2023. Can you share what those awards are and how you got were able to receive them?
Yeah, 100%. So the first one is the OACUSA, so OACUSA, which is it's a mouthful. It's the Ontario Association of Colleges and Universities Security Administrators. Gotcha. So essentially it's the group of all of the directors and senior VPs of security of all of the universities and colleges in Ontario. So I got the Leadership Excellence Award with the OACUSA last year because I got really involved. And this year I'll be involved too, but I'm very involved. As I said, I really care about sharing knowledge, you know, getting people up in their leadership. And so I hosted a whole bunch of mastermind sessions for these directors, just free of charge, just hosting these events and helping them solve problems. And honestly, it wasn't just me. It's everybody talking, everybody sharing. And and we would go like, hey, you know, currently I'm having a hiring problem on my team. You know, how are you solving it? And how are you solving it? And so pretty much the whole year we were meeting maybe every 6 weeks. And I got really involved with that. And then I started offering free seminars through LinkedIn and all of that jazz. And I guess the OACUSA board at some point had to give out awards. And so they contacted me at some point and just went, hey, we're proud to announce that you've just won the Excellence in Leadership Award. And I was like, wow, cool. That's awesome. So, and I'd never won a prize before. So I was like, this is awesome. That's great. So that was super cool. And so, so I had to literally have a mantle built for my prize because I didn't have mantle. So there we go. No, I'm just kidding. And the second prize, which is the Canadian Security Magazine. So it's like the biggest security magazine in the country, in Canada. Okay. And they publish these awards every year. And people have to go on the site and nominate candidates for the various awards. I think there's six categories. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I had no idea that I had been nominated. And so I guess enough people went on this site to nominate me, and then again just got a phone call and said, hey, we're proud to announce that you just won this prize. And I was like, holy crap, this is amazing, cool. So now I made an even bigger mantle, and now I've got two prizes on my mantle. So there we go. That's the story behind these prizes. So
well, congratulations to you. I know when working and something that you love doing and helping people in the process, it's nice to get the fruits of the work. You know, the tree grows and the fruit will produce. So, and that's part of the fruit of the tree.
Yep, 100%, 100%.
Yeah. So also, I know the website's scrolling below. If anyone wanted to get in contact with you, how would you prefer them to use the website? Or if they wanted to use your program, be affiliated with you somehow, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, 100%. So, and thank you for that, Cleet. I appreciate it. If you want to follow some content and kind of learn different things, I publish regularly some videos on LinkedIn. So you can just find me on LinkedIn. I'm not hard to find. You'll be able to find me on LinkedIn. And you can just follow content on there. I write, I post videos, that type of stuff. So you can go on there. If you're interested in having a conversation with me. If what we spoke about today really resonated with you and, you know, you want to get your career to the next level, you want to, you know, work on either your career or your leadership skills, by all means, it'll be my pleasure to talk with you. So just go on my website, which is posted right there, teamup.ca. And right there on the first page, you'll see a big button that says book a free coaching session. It's 30 minutes. And essentially what I do is I'll just ask you a couple of questions like what's top of your mind right now? What's the major problem you want to fix right now? And I'll help you fix that problem right then and there, like right in the free session. I'll help you out. And then what we'll do is just like I explained a little bit earlier, we'll figure out where you're at in your leadership or in your career and where you want to be. And then we'll actually map out right there in that free session. We'll map out, here's what you need to do to get there. And then you can decide, you can make that decision. You know what? I'm going to invest in myself and really get myself to the next level. Or I just want to learn off of YouTube and take a chance. So either way, but that's how you reach me. So either on LinkedIn or via my website, and it'll absolutely be my pleasure. Even if you decide to just get the 30-minute free coaching session, it's my pleasure to really give you as much bang for your time as possible and help you out.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there you have it. Roll the dice. Take a chance on yourself. Make sure you invest in yourself. The website's scrolling below. It's also in the comment section. Make sure that you, if nothing else, check out his LinkedIn page and see what he's already done. See what he has to offer. You never know. That could be the game changer that takes you from here and takes you to the stratosphere just that quickly. So don't sell yourself short, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Do yourself a favor and at least check it out. All right. I had a wonderful time interviewing you and having a conversation. But through the course of conversation, I may have forgot to ask a question, or I may have even jogged your memory on something else that we may not have talked about or discussed. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us right now? The floor is yours.
Well, thanks. Sure. I mean, one of the big messages I want to pass to everybody listening right now is, do take care of yourself. We are in an industry that's very difficult. We don't get a lot of support. And so it's very important, you know, do a buddy check. Check on the people around you and check on yourself. Check yourself. Make sure that you take good care of yourself, that you get the rest that you need, and that you're around positive and really people that help you grow, because it is a hard job. And you need to take care of yourself first.
Absolutely. Good point. Good topic. Let me get that back. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. We just like we talked about yesterday with Michael Sugru and other and Erica Gaines last weekend, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, whatever kind of outlet that you would need to make yourself better, to get that release, you know, stop bottling things up because it will come out in different formats. Take care of yourself so that for one, you can have an enjoyable career. For two, you can make it to the end of your career and not be burnt out. And for three, once you retire, you still have a life after this career. We don't want you to make it to the end of this career as law enforcement or a first responder, and then you're just a flat tire, and then you're just going to waste away. No, you still got plenty to do, and we want you to make sure that you're enjoying that time. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you guys for tuning in. Another episode of Black and Blue, where we air weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got a special guest coming to the stage next week. I'm not going to tell you who they are because I want you to tune in. Like you guys know, I'm going to leave you with that cliffhanger. But we got another barn burner coming just like we did today. Make sure you tag, like, share, tell all your friends. If you have any questions or comments, still put them in the comment section. We'll address them after the replay. This will be uploaded on Spotify as well. So if you have a Spotify account, make sure you subscribe. Those subs mean something. We got to get this information out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The websites are in the comment section. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you tune in. Again, we're here weekly. This is the platform where we interview first responders and law enforcement officers, whether they're rookie, seasoned, or retiree. And when we interview them, we talk about their trainings, experiences, and publications. So if you're already in a first responder and you're looking for more information, this is your platform. If you're not in a first responder and you're looking to see how we humanize the badge, things that we do, things that make us tick, this is your platform. We have a lot of fun doing it, and we express ourselves, and we get those stories out there. So thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Coach Clee, your motivational speaker, your empowerment coach, your author, and your favorite baker, saying 10-4 over and out. Take care of each other. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Your Honor, we have undeniable evidence that Chance Wilder attempted to hack into multiple bank accounts and steal money. We request the maximum penalty.
That's right, Your Honor. Chance Wilder is a menace to society, and we must put an end to his hacking shenanigans.
Objection, Your Honor. My client is innocent until proven guilty. We believe there's been a misunderstanding. Chance Wilder is a misunderstood genius, not a criminal.
Order in the court. Let's hear the defense's case.
Your Honor, I present to you Chance Wilder's latest creation, the Hacker Helper 3000. This incredible software was designed to protect innocent people from cyber threats. Chance's intentions were pure.
Objection, Your Honor. This is just a ploy to distract us from the real issues at hand.
Indeed, Your Honor. We even have evidence of Chance Wilder's hacking attempts. He's gone so far to have left the digital signature saying, "Catch me if you can."
Chance Wilder, I've heard both sides of the story. Hacking is illegal. Since you like to take wild chances, I sentence you to community service, where you use your skills for good, helping organizations protect themselves from cyber threats.
Oh man, no money and community service?
Shut up and take the deal.
Well, there's another good job done by our district attorney, just in case.
It was a team effort.
And there you go, folks. Justice was brought to Chance Wilder, but I'm pretty sure he'll be up to his shenanigans again. So tune in. And that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
I'm not a bad cop.
I never once said you were. It would be real simple if the problem was bad cops. It ain't.